On this edition of the Golf Central podcast presented by Callaway Golf, we break down the entire 64-man World Golf Championships Dell Match Play Bracket with Rex Hoggard live from Austin, Texas. Now, before we get into all of the bracket breakdowns, I want to remind you that Odyssey was the number one putter on every major tour that held an event last week, including, of course, the Honda Classic, where Odyssey had over 40% of all putters in play. The new 2-Ball 10 continues to be Odyssey's number one model across the major worldwide tours, and was Odyssey's most played model at PGA National. Players particularly like the combination of 2-ball alignment and the high MOI shape. Find out why John Rahm and others trust this putter as their gamer at odysseygolf.com. Now, Rex, you just landed in Austin. You missed the very dramatic bracket unveiling, which went down on PGA Tour Live earlier today. However, you are on the grounds. I know you love bracket season as much as I do. What are your thoughts now? You got to print out the bracket. I've got a couple hours ahead of you in terms of looking through these matchups. What stands out to you first of all before we start going group by group?
I'm going to stumble a little bit. I did not have the luxury of the bracket having to go through it. I also need to apologize specifically to GoGo Gadget Willie that I am actually on location, as you pointed out, and I forgot my fancy microphone. So I'm doing this on earbuds, and sound quality is going to be bad, Willie. I'm warning you right now, man. Don't at me. Don't do it. We're trying our best, brother.
I think there's a rugged quality of this. It's kind of like you're a war correspondent, you know, just in the trenches at Austin Country Club. That's perfectly okay. That's why I had to do the sponsored read. I hope our friends at Callaway Golf did not mind this week's sponsor read presented by Ryan Lavner.
Oh, I think you did a great job. I wanted to point out two things, though. And we both covered this event, and I will go from, and these are two extremes that I'm going to camp on right here, is I really think when they switch the format to this round robin group play situation, everybody plays everybody the first 3 days, it seems like within your pod, that you kind of watered down what I felt like was the best Wednesday in golf. When, you know, it was 64 started on Wednesday, and next thing you know, 32 were heading home Wednesday night. And I just loved the do or die of that. That said, this kind of gives us something to do Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, as opposed to by the time we get to Sunday and the media outnumbers everybody who's left. So that gets a little flat. So I understand where it's coming from. Still not 100% sure buying into this because it gets a little confusing. The other part of this is going through the brackets is one of the funnest things I do all year long. I get so much joy out of this because you can just go and do any kind of, you can just keep going with the permutations. I love it.
I think I'm probably in the minority that I actually like the change to the round robin format, because in the old format, and we covered it and it was great on Wednesday, but as the tournament went on, it got less interesting because the favorites were getting knocked out, and it's just Saturday and Sunday was kind of sleepy. This actually progresses in terms of you're identifying the best players throughout the course of the week, and the championship matches that we've had, the semifinals, the quarterfinals that we've had since this format switched, I think in 2015, has been terrific. So it actually builds throughout the course of the week as opposed to kind of deteriorating as the week goes on. And I'm with you. I really, really struggled to fill out a couple of these groups, and we've gone through this. We filled out our entire bracket challenge, and we're going to pick our semifinals and of course our champion and runner up eventually. But let's just go real quick. If you're playing along at home, we're going to go through the left side of the bracket first and then move on to the right side. So the number one overall seed, of course, is Dustin Johnson, who would be in that top left. He's going up against Kevin Na, Bobby McIntyre, and Adam Long. I'm assuming you got DJ there.
I do. However, if you look at the way Bobby McIntyre has played, I kind of liked it. And you have to believe that someone from Scotland and someone with his background knows how to play match play, even against the world number one. So I was kind of torn. Like, I stared at this one on an airplane for a long time going back and forth, but I'm going to have to go with chalk simply because I don't know that anyone can really beat DJ straight up these days. I think he's that dominant. He can overpower a golf course, even this golf course, which isn't necessarily a bomber's place, but I still think as far as he hits it, as well as he hits his wedges, if he puts even average, I can't imagine how he doesn't get out of this bracket.
Yeah, I think that you're exactly right that Thursday match against Bobby McIntyre is going to be the one that's probably going to determine the group champion. DJ didn't play great in Florida. He rarely does. I wouldn't chalk that up to anything more than he just doesn't play well in the state of Florida. He's won a Doral a couple years ago, and that's really been it. It'd be nice to see him get a little bit of form going, of course, before he enters his title defense at the Masters. But I do have DJ getting through onto the round of 16. Below that, Sung JM is the top seed in this pod against Victor Perez, who you've dogged for months and do not want to see in the European Ryder Cup team, along with Mark Leishman and Russell Henley. Who you got?
Well, I'm going to continue to dog Victor Perez, and I didn't even think about that as I kind of went through the bracket. And I don't know that Sung JM is really that great of a match play player. I just think he's in form right now. He's simply playing well. He finished tied for eighth last week at the Honda Classic. Had a solid finish at the Players' Championship, a Sunday 66. And as I've said, I don't want to see Victor Perez on that Ryder Cup team. That's not true. I don't care if Victor Perez is on that
team. You probably couldn't even pick Victor Perez out of a lineup.
I couldn't. If I'm being honest, I couldn't.
He's like the 6 foot, 5 foot guy. He's like the 6 foot, 5 inch guy.
Is that really supposed to narrow it down for me?
All right. So I was thinking about this one. I like Sanjay. Obviously, he's coming off a good week at Honda. Russell Henley, super streaky, great putter. I think he finished in a tie for third last week at PGA National. But I actually am going to pick Victor Perez because to me, he has the most to prove in that pod. He wants to show Padraig Harrington and Rex Hoggard that he could be a great player. Yeah, he's also coming in with some good form, finished in the top 10 at the Players' Championship. Next pod, Webb Simpson is the top seed. Paul Casey, Mackenzie Hughes, Taylor Gooch. I know you're not picking Taylor Gooch.
I actually am. I swear.
No, you're not.
And I'm not even making that up. Look, you can see it right there on my bracket. I'm not even.
Oh, my God, you are.
I am. I wrote it down. I actually watched him a little bit at the Players' Championship a few weeks ago. His rookie year, I remember walking around at the Sony Open watching him because I kind of pick one rookie every year at Sony Open that I want to get to know, that I want to learn something about their game. I've always been impressed with him. And look, he probably hasn't been as consistent as I thought he was coming out of the gate, but tied for fifth at TPC 2 weeks ago. I feel like his game's in good enough shape. And when I look at that bracket, I mean, certainly I'm going to have a hard time wrapping my mind around the idea that I'm picking against both Paul Casey and Webb Simpson, who have proven themselves in match plays past. But I still feel like Gooch is probably playing the best golf right now.
Seriously, because Paul Casey has six consecutive top five finishes, or sorry, six All consecutive right. top 15 finishes. Obviously, he has two decades plus of match play experience. To me, it's Paul Casey. I don't even think it's close.
All right. Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Okay,
as long
that's
as it
fine.
Might be.
That's fine. We're going to move on. To me, this is one of the most intriguing pods in the entire round
Wait
robin format.
So you picked Webb Simpson, right?
I picked Paul Casey. Paul Casey, consecutive top 15 finishes. Paul Casey there.
Okay.
All right. So we have Terrell Hatton, Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia, and Matt Walsh. I wouldn't even say maybe there's a decent chance. There's at least a chance that all four of those guys are on the European Ryder Cup team come September at Whistling Straits. Lee Westwood, of course, coming off the back-to-back runner-up finishes during the floor swing, just missed the cut at the Honda. Terrell Hatton, top 10 player in the world. Sergio Garcia, nice week at Sawgrass. And Matt Wallace, as we know, is one of the most combustible players in all of golf. Really, three of those four can just fly off the handle at any moment. I'm picking Sergio. He's just because he has the most experience in that. He's at least somewhat well-rested coming off a decent week at TPC Sawgrass. Who do you like in that pod, which I think will be very competitive?
No, I think you're right. All of them could end up on the Ryder Cup team. All of them could end up on the winning Ryder Cup team. All of them have played this event well in the past. Sergio Garcia's members here. I mean, we can pick out a lot of different reasons why you could pick someone. I think I'm still going with the sentimental pick of Westy. I still think the story at the Players' Championship.
You think he's got anything left in the tank?
Maybe not. He certainly didn't look like he had much left in the tank at Honda Classic, but I am going to lean towards him, specifically in this format. I'm not saying he has something to prove at 47 years old, but I think that like a lot of players of a certain age, this format brings out the best in him. So I'm going to stick with Westy.
Yeah, things could get a little tense there. I don't think any of those players in particular are great short putters. So if you got Lee Westwood with a 2 footer to have the hole, are you actually going to give it to him despite him being 47 years old and a future captain on the European Ryder Cup team? I'm not so sure. All right. So if we want to move on to the round of 16 there, we both picked DJ. You picked Sungjae Im. Do you think Sungjae could take DJ? I have DJ against Victor Perez and I picked DJ.
Yeah, I'm going to go with DJ. I mean, for all the reasons I kind of leaned into, again, don't know if Sungjae Im even likes match play. I just feel like he was playing well. Again, not sure that's going to hold up in a match against Dustin Johnson at the moment.
All right, so who would DJ play in the quarterfinals then, based on your bracket?
Westy. I'm going to stick with my heart instead of my head on that one. Because for me, it came down to Westy and Gooch. You hated that Gooch pick. So if I have to lean towards one, really I'm going to go Westy. You really then, did, which is surprising because he's right there. And you're that's like one of your guys, man.
I mean, I think he's a solid player. But he would actually be my fourth choice of that pod. Now, that's not to say it's not going to happen. I actually have been wrong before when we look at these brackets. And if you look at my NCAA basketball bracket, I think I have roughly about 16% correct. But Taylor Gooch, perhaps he's going to surprise. All right, so you've got DJ versus Westy, and you're going to take DJ?
Yeah, DJ moving in the semifinals, absolutely.
Yep.
You're jumping ahead on me here, so yes, but that's it.
Yep, I got DJ in the semifinals as well. All right, let's go. If you're following along home, the bottom left portion of the bracket, that's where Bryson DeChambeau is the fifth overall seed. He's in the same pod as Tommy Fleetwood, Siwoo Kim, excuse me, and Antoine Rosner. Bryson DeChambeau, Antoine Rosner in the opening round on Wednesday. Who do you think is coming out of this pod?
I'm going to go with Bryson. And again, he's the type of guy where you look at what he can do to a golf course over the course of 72 holes. We've had a fun debate over the last year, really talking about, well, can he dominate on every golf course? Is this only going to be Bombers golf courses? It doesn't matter. And in a match play situation where I don't know a lot about Rosner, but my guess is he's going to be playing behind Bryson a lot. He's going to be looking.
I think everyone's going to be playing behind Bryson.
That's true. And that can get very, very intimidating. So I'm going to go with bad.
All right. I'm going to take Tommy Fleetwood coming out of this pod for the sole purpose. We are taping this podcast at about 2 o'clock Eastern time on Monday. Bryson has teased some big news at 3 o'clock. We're probably going to date ourselves, but I think that's probably going to be something that he referenced to me about a month ago, something with this new driver face technology that's supposed to eliminate two-way misses with slightly errant tee shots. I'm not sure of that. That's my sneaking suspicion. However, I think Bryson has an eye on Augusta National at this point. He's not a terrific professional match play player. Of course, he was a former U.S. amateur champion.
Okay.
However, in professional, he hasn't gotten it done. Tommy Fleetwood, who you may remember went 5-0 in the Ryder Cup in 2018, is my pick to advance there, despite him not playing his best golf right now. He will face, for me, it's going to be Tony Finau, Jason Kokrak, Will Zalatoris, who I think is very intriguing in this pod, and Dylan Fratelli. Who do you think comes out of there?
I like Zalatoris as well. I mean, for being he's technically the only rookie on tour as it stands right now at the moment, and being the fact that he's playing all these events, it seems like for the first time, you have to be so impressed with what he's been able to do really over the last year. Amid the pandemic, no one has flourished like he has. But I kind of went back and forth on this one, but I got to go with Tony Finau. I mean, I just think we're going to have these questions about, well, can he close on a Sunday? And as they say, every one of these matches is like going into a Sunday, you know, in the final round with a share of the lead. And so I think he can probably learn a lot about where his game is, where he is mentally right now. But I still think that he has that the fortitude, even though we haven't seen it on a Sunday in a very long time, to get it done, at least get out of this, you know, get out of his group.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right in that he can score some mental points here for a guy who's come so close so often. For him to beat who are, you know, two of the three longest players on the PGA Tour in terms of Jason Kokrak and Dylan Fratelli, and then Will Zalatoris, who is a Korn Ferry Tour player who has played his way inside the top 50 in the world rankings, going to be playing in the Masters in a couple of weeks. It's certainly impressive. But I do have Tony Finau advancing out of that pod. Below him, Victor Hovland, Abe Anser, Bernd Wiesberger, Kevin Streelman. I think it's Hovland, and I don't think it's particularly close.
I don't either. Yeah, I think you'd probably be surprised with me saying that. But when I went through it and kind of you start looking at records and you start looking at how these guys have played recently, regardless of how they might have played in match play in the past, I just think Victor Hovland is the easy standout in that group.
Yeah, 2018 U.S. Amateur Champion at Pebble Beach. Covered that one. Below him, another class of 2019 college player with Colin Morikawa, who is making his debut in this event. Of course, this Dell match play was canceled last year because of the pandemic. So Colin Morikawa is making his debut as the fourth overall seed, going up against Billy Horschel, Max Homa, the Genesis Invitational winner, and JT Poston. Who you got?
This one's probably going to surprise you because I went through it and I know that you're going to lean towards Morikawa. I know what's happening here. So I'm going to go ahead and just go the other direction and kind of to be the contrarian. Billy Horschel, He loves match play. He loves the idea of going head to head with someone. He's going to be pounding his chest, and he's playing decent. So I'm going to go with Billy.
I am not going to take Colin Morikawa, which may surprise you, but Colin Morikawa does not have a great match play record. His team never advanced to the match play portion of the NCAAs, never made a deep run in the U.S. amateur. So I think it's just a complete unknown, and I don't trust his putter right now. It was pretty clear that the performance at Concession was a one-off, just like the PGA Championship was a one-off. So I don't think he's a strong enough putter to advance in this format. That's why I'm going to actually take Max Homa. I know Max Homa missed the cut at TPC Sawgrass. Prior to that, had four consecutive top 25 finishes. Of course, that victory at Riviera that you covered. But I do think Billy Horschel, as the B player in that group, is also suspect. So I'm going with, I guess you call it a mild upset, with Max Homa as the C player in that pod to advance. So you have Bryson versus Finau, Hovland, as I do, going up against Horschel. Who you have then with Bryson and Finau? That's going to be a very intriguing matchup if it does come to pass.
I'm going to pick Tony because, again, when they go head-to-head, and I just pointed out what it's going to be like for those guys, for Rosner playing against him. I mean, it's tough when you're giving up 20, 30 yards on every tee shot. It can wear you down. I think Tony has the firepower to stay with him. And, again, I think as you go into these matches, I think Tony maybe has something to prove to himself, if nobody else. Simply going into these matches, being able to prove that, yes, I can do it when the pressure is at its most. And I like Tony a lot.
I have Finau in the quarterfinals as well, of course, just a different route going through Tommy Fleetwood instead of Bryson. Hovland versus Horschel for you, Homa for me. I have Victor Hovland advancing in that one.
I have Victor too. I think we both are pretty high on him simply because of all the young players, and we've talked about this as we've gotten into this little scrap about Morikawa over the last couple of weeks. I asked you this really early in the process, and you agreed with me that I felt like Victor Hovland probably had the most complete game out of all of those newcomers, and I'm counting Matthew Wolf in that group and Morikawa. I just feel like when you watch him play, I know his short game can be suspect, but I like every other.
It's gotten better. It's gotten a lot better. So we actually are in agreement, which means it definitely won't happen, that the quarterfinals in this section of the bracket would be Tony Finau versus Victor Hovland. I have Victor Hovland. Who do you have?
I have Tony. That's where we diverge. I'm putting a lot of faith in Tony, and this one's probably going to come back and bite me. I feel like it's going to be a bad Monday for me next week when we tape this, and I've got to put my head in my hands and congratulate Victor Perez for winning it all and not being completely wrong about it. But I put a lot of faith in Tony, at least through, not, I don't know how much further I'm willing to go with him, but at least through that round.
So you have DJ versus Finau. I have DJ versus Hovland. That's what you're looking at?
That's what we're looking at.
And who do you have winning that one?
I'm going to go with DJ.
So the Tony Finau love has to end at some point. So we just built up this fact that Tony Finau can secure some much needed mental points here of grinding out wins. That's something he hasn't done since Puerto Rico in 2016. And then he gets to the end of the road, world number one, Dustin Johnson, the ultimate opportunity for him to score one and say, hey, you know what? I can close out this win. And he loses. That's what you're predicting.
I just can't imagine. How do you overcome that? I mean, when you just look at the skill set, like if I just gave
it's
you
18
the
hole
stats,
match play. These are 64 best players in the world. Anything can happen.
There is
no such thing as an upset.
I just think if you look at the skill set of what Dustin Johnson, if I took his name off and you say, okay, here's his resume, here's where he ranks in all of these statistical categories, you could put him up against anyone, and it's going to be hard for you to argue that he's going to lose time and time again. I just don't see how that happens. And again, I put a lot of faith and Tony just getting him to the semifinals, but I don't know how anybody beats DJ. I'm foreshadowing who I'm going with in the championship, by the way.
Way to get ahead of us here. I'm actually picking Victor Hovland to beat Dustin Johnson. To me, Victor Hovland
doing Homer stuff.
No, he's the type of player who, if you were to pit him against in Dustin Johnson 18 hole match play, I think he would stand up quite well. He's plenty long enough. He's one of the best iron players on the PGA Tour. So he's going to continue to put Dustin Johnson in tons of pressure situations and make him hit quality golf shots. And I think his short game is vastly improved and his putting is very underrated. I think Victor Hovland in a, I guess, mini upset as DJ then turns his attention to his Masters title defense. So I've got Victor Hovland on one side of the bracket. You have Dustin Johnson. All right. Top right portion. This to me is the most agonizing pod of them all, or group. And it would be Justin Thomas, of course, who's making his first appearance since winning that Players' Championship that you and I both covered, versus Louis Oosthuizen, Kevin Kisner, who was the 2019 Dell Matchplay champion the last year that this tournament was played, and Matt Kuchar. This, to me, is the quote-unquote group of death, if you are a soccer fan. But who do you got?
Group of death? I don't know about that one. Kevin, it seems like a lifetime ago that Kevin Kisner won this event. Seems like a lifetime since we've been here. I'm going to go with JT. I just think that it was such a milestone. It was such an epiphany, both emotionally and professionally, for him, what he did at the Players' Championship after getting off to just a horrible year on the course, off the course, self-inflicted, not self-inflicted, all the things that we've talked about. I just feel like not so much he has something to prove. Not so much like Tony Finau, but just to himself, that he is the dominant player in the world, that he can compete, go head-to-head with all of these guys. And I don't even think it's going to be particularly close. I don't.
Oh my gosh. I agonized. I know you were flying and eating your peanuts and drinking your Delta coffee. I agonized for probably like a half hour on this one. Cause Louis Oosthuizen, when you look at his record in this event, it's phenomenal. He has a second place finish. He has 5 top 10 finishes. So he's always pushing deep in this bracket. Kevin Kisner, you get him in a match play format. This is what he lives for. Kind of that head-to-head battle. And Matt Kuchar, I know he hasn't been playing well for the past year plus. However, he does have a pretty stout record in this format. I'm just not sure that JT, after the Players' win, I'm not sure he was necessarily grinding at home at Medalist over the past week, trying to make sure his game was sharp. I think anyone would allow him to have a couple days of rest and relaxation and have some fun and savor in that victory. So I'm picking Louis. I'm picking Louis to come out of that pot. He has been playing pretty well of late.
Going with your head, not your heart on that one. I see what happened there.
Yes, I do have, not to get ahead of myself, I do have Louis make a little bit of a run as he tends to do in this tournament. Next pod, the player who then I guess would face Justin Thomas in your bracket would be Matt Fitzpatrick as the top seed in this pod versus Matthew Wolf, Corey Connors, and my boy, JS, Jordan Spieth. Who you got?
And I don't know how you didn't see this coming. I didn't go this route simply because I have been happy and I've been a willing participant in the cheering on Jordan Spieth as he comes out the other side of this darkness. And by the way, that was a very good column that you wrote about him and getting him to open up about some stuff. However, that being said, I do not see how he's able to put three, let's say, flawless rounds together. And that's essentially what he'll have to do.
What?
And I don't
flawless
see
rounds? It's match play.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to go with Matthew Fitzpatrick. He's playing the best out of that group. He's finished in the top 11 in his last 4 starts, and he's been impressive. He's played match play. He grew up playing it. I just don't see it. How could you not just go for the symmetry of Jordan playing JT in the next round?
Well, since I already killed off JT in the first round, it's just not going to happen. So the reason why I picked Jordan Spieth here is not necessarily by default, but Matt Fitzpatrick, his record in match play is not good besides the U.S. amateur that he won 7 or 8 years ago. Matthew Wolf, first event since the WD at Concession. He's been dealing with some hand issues, some mental issues. Corey Connors can't putt. He can absolutely knock the cover out the ball, but his putting is certainly a bugaboo. And Jordan Spieth, he doesn't have to play a flawless round. That's I think, the beauty of Jordan Spieth in match play, is that if he has a couple blow up holes, which Jordan Spieth unfortunately has had, it's just a lost hole. It's not necessarily a lost tournament. So I think Jordan Spieth, the strides that he has made in his long game, and you can read that story that you alluded to right now on golfchannel.com. Thank you for the shameless plug. I think this is a perfect situation for him to advance out of this pod and continue the momentum that he has built here over the past couple of months. Also in this portion of the bracket, Patrick Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama, Carlos Ortiz, and Brian Harman. I wouldn't call it an upset. I'm not going chalk on this one. Who do you got?
I am going chalk, but it was hard simply because when I sort of looked at the landscape, Brian Harman is kind of built for match play, right? We always refer to him as a bulldog and not just that stupid G that you have behind you in your office there. I think this has more to do with the firepower that he'll go up against Patrick Cantlay. And I don't know that Hideki Matsuyama putts well enough. Yes, thank you for picking up more memorabilia. This is a visual medium. Let's not forget that. Right? And Beasenhut is a bit of let's say, call him a mystery right now. And he probably will end up surprising both of us. But when you sort of look at it, I just like Patrick Cantlay. I just think the state of his game right now, again, he's not the kind of guy that's going to make a lot of mistakes. He's not going to give any holes away. I like him advancing.
I think that Wednesday match is really going to be telling. Patrick Cantlay versus Brian Harman, a bulldog, as you mentioned, both literally and figuratively, versus a guy who is as steady as they come with zero weaknesses in his game. I think that's going to be very telling. However, I do have Hideki Matsuyama coming out of this pod in kind of a mini non-chalk answer. Hideki's been playing well over the past month and a half, and I think he can make just enough putts, and he puts plenty of pressure on his opponents. I think he can get by. Assuming that Brian Harman beats Patrick Cantlay, which I think is certainly a possibility. To fill out this portion, you got Patrick Reed, Joaquin Niemann, Christian Bezuidenhout, and Bubba Watson. For me, it's Patrick Reed. No questions asked.
P. Reed. Yeah, I don't think we need to say too much on that one. I mean, he is still Captain America. He's been tarnished a little bit over the last year or so, but he still is a match building machine. So I love him.
Yeah, I think it's actually an important week for him in terms of he didn't play well the 2018 Ryder Cup, even though he had Tiger as his partner. And of course, he caused some drama there with Spieth. 2019 President's Cup, he had so much hanging over his head there. Webb Simpson was kind of saddled alongside him after the bunker controversy at the Hero World Challenge. So I think this is kind of an opportunity for him to reclaim his position as, if not the best, one of the Americans' best match play performers. All right, so you then have Justin Thomas versus Jordan Spieth. I have Louis Oosthuizen over Jordan Spieth.
I did not pick Jordan Spieth.
Oh, sorry. You have Justin Thomas over Matt Fitzpatrick. And you're taking, what, Fitzy there?
Fitzy, yes, please.
Oh, my.
You mean going into the quarterfinals? No, JT beats Fitzy. It's going to be a good match. That's going to be a preview to some Ryder Cup stuff, probably. But I'll take JT into the quarterfinals over Fitzy.
I have Oosty beating my boy JS, Jordan Spieth, Oosthuizen. Like back in the day when we used to do these one and done picks, if I got to the Dell Match Play Championship, I would always pick Louis Oosthuizen as my one and done guy because he was just like guaranteed to get to the quarters or the semis every single year. So I'm just going to harken back to that era and continue picking him. So I have Oosthuizen into the quarterfinals at least. There's a teaser for you. Then you have Patrick Cantlay in your bracket versus Patrick Reed, Ryder Cup teammates, President Cup teammates. Who do you like there?
P. Reed, advancing. Again, I think we're going to see a side of Patrick Reed that we haven't seen a little while, at least when it comes to match play. There'll be a chip on his shoulder. He always has a chip on his shoulder, but this week it'll probably be a little bit heavier than maybe in the past. He still feels like, you know, he's probably getting dogged in ways that he's not comfortable with. So I like him.
I like that too. I have Patrick Reed as well into the quarterfinals. So for me, I have Oosthuizen versus Reed. I picked Oosty just because I have. You have then Justin Thomas versus Patrick Reed. I would clear my schedule to watch that one.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. That's the fun part about setting up these brackets, right? Looking down the line and seeing, oh, well, where can we set this up? Unlike you, I really looked hard at the Jordan Spieth Justin Thomas round four matchup that you had clearly had no interest in. So you just wanted to get rid of JT as fast as possible.
I mean, you didn't even pick Jordan Spieth to beat Matt Fitzpatrick. That's the one you need to watch on Wednesday. That's the matchup to watch on Wednesday. So who do you have there?
It's going to be a good one, but I'm going to pick Patrick Reed to advance to the semifinals. I just think, again, all the reasons we've kind of touched on, JT is clearly playing very, very well right now, but doesn't take much in match play to sway something one way or the other.
How many fans you got this week in Austin?
Not many. Yeah, from what I've been told, it's mostly just corporate sort of groups and then members. So it won't be anything close to what we saw at TBC or Bay Hill or the last couple of weeks. It's lonely out here.
That's a bummer because you can get some jeering going on if that were the case. Let's see. Bottom right portion of the bracket where Xander Schauffele is the number six overall seed, just like Tony Finau. We're waiting for Xander Schauffele to win something significant. Does that happen this week in his pod against Scottie Scheffler, Jason Day, who is a two-time champion of this event, and Andy Sullivan?
We started the breakdown at the exact same spot. For me, it starts and ends at Xander. He missed a cut at the Players' Championship in his last start. I don't know if he's playing particularly well right now. This was almost by default for me, though, because I simply don't feel like Jason Day is back to being Jason Day, if I'm being honest. I just don't see how he beats someone in that situation. I don't know that Andy Sullivan is playing great. Probably the hardest one, Scotty Scheffler. I mean, he spent some time around Austin, in my understanding, so he knows it. But I do think I'm going to go with Xander in the end.
Yeah, I think that's the Friday match that's probably going to determine who wins this pod. Xander Schauffele, Scotty Scheffler. To me, that's almost a coin flip, but I am going to take Xander just because of his pro match play experience. Scotty Scheffler, of course, making his debut in this event. He would then face the winner of the pod involving Rory McIlroy, making his first start since the Players' Championship, where he basically admitted that he chased Bryson DeChambeau down the speed trap and got caught, along with Cameron Smith, Lanto Griffin, and Ian Poulter.
Lanto. It's funny. I did not look at Rory's name. I mean, I glanced at it. I knew he was there, but it's interesting that you start. Obviously, he would be chalk in that matchup, but I never even considered it, which is probably more of an indictment.
Never even considered Rory McIlroy.
No, it's probably, and again, I'm about to fall on a sword here. This is probably me being a prisoner of the moment more so than anything. However, was there anything at TPC Sawgrass that you saw that would lead you to believe that, okay, he's getting close to a tipping point as far as his game goes? Yeah. So I just don't. I like Cam Smith. I mean, he finished runner-up at the Masters in November, and since then, he's just been very, very consistent. And I don't know what kind of match play player he is, but I feel like if you look at that group, he's probably playing the best out of them right now.
I actually picked Cam Smith as well. And for the reason why, I think Roy's going to lose to Ian Poulter on Wednesday. That's like one of the worst players you would want to see. If you're a little bit struggling with your game, you go up against facing Ian Poulter, who, as we know, is one of the best match play players of all time, but a guy who would really get up for that situation and wanting to prove himself against Rory, and a guy who's probably just trying to find his game at this point. So I think Cam Smith, as you mentioned, runner-up finish at the Masters, top 20 finishes in each of his last three starts. I like Cam Smith to advance there. This one is a really interesting pod here with Daniel Berger leading the way. Daniel Berger, who withdrew from the Honda Classic because of a rib issue, going up against Harris English, Brendan Todd, Shadow Bulldogs, and also Eric Van Rooyen. Who do you like? Because I don't like really any of them.
I do like Berger. I mean, ever since the victory at Pebble Beach, he's played well. And you're right, anytime you've got WDs with a rib injury, you start getting a little bit concerned.
That's his second WD in like 4 weeks.
I know. I just haven't seen anything out of Harris English or Brendan Todd to lead me to believe that, okay, that they're ready. And I don't know. We would call it an upset technically, but I don't buy into that.
So I'm going to pick Brendan Todd only because of his putting prowess, but it wouldn't, like, in a normal situation, I think any of these guys could go 0-3 this weekend and it wouldn't surprise me. So someone has to win this pod, which is why I think that John Rahm, who is playing in the pod below him, has to absolutely be licking his chops, because I think it's an easy route for him to then get into the quarterfinals as we then move our way through the bracket. Newsflash, I'm picking John Rahm to beat Ryan Palmer, Shane Lowry, and Sebastian Munoz.
This is my homer pick. I'm going to go ahead and go with it. And I'm going to go with Ryan Palmer. He's had some success in the match play in the past. And he and John are close friends. And so, I mean, they've been paired together in New Orleans when they won there as a team. I simply think that for Ryan, this is a big opportunity. He doesn't have I wouldn't imagine he's got many more of these opportunities left. So I think he gets out of that group, beats John Rahm.
Oh my. Okay. So let's see. You've got Xander, Cam Smith, which is exactly what I have. I'm picking Cam Smith in that one. I really like Cam Smith this week.
I do too. I don't know how much I like him. Stay tuned.
So you're picking Xander. You're picking Xander to beat him.
No, I'm picking Cam Smith to beat Xander. Yeah, sorry, in round four.
Okay, so then you've got Cam Smith then going up against Ryan Palmer.
No, we didn't get to that. It was Berger against Ryan Palmer for me. You got it backwards.
Wait, so you got Berger?
I do have Berger, yeah.
You got Daniel Berger, who's withdrawn from two tournaments in the past 4 weeks, advancing to the quarterfinals of this tournament?
I don't feel like I just go through all the reasons I felt confident picking him? Yes.
So, and also, by the way, you've got John Rahm, the number three ranked player in the world, packing his bags on Friday. I just wanted to double down on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I've
got. You call them upsets. You don't think there's going to be an upset? You don't think there's not going over the first 2 days, there's going to be no upset?
I don't think one's going to involve John Rahm. I think he's arguably the safest pick. If I know I said Louis Oosthuizen back in the old days, I would have my one and done pick, like the safest guy. To me, that's John Rahm at this term. He lost to DJ a couple years ago in the championship match. He's got the Ryder Cup experience under his belt. He's playing terrific golf, even though he hasn't won since August. I like John Rahm to get through all the way to the semifinals, where for me, he would face Louis Oosthuizen, which of course, to use your words, would be an upset.
It would be. I don't buy into the upsets. I mean, this isn't, Loyola beating Illinois in the first round of the NCAA tournament, simply because I think I've watched Tiger Woods get beat in the first round of this event. It happens back in his prime. And I think by not picking Rahm, I'm not passing any judgment on his game. It's more of a comment on just how things can change at match play and how a guy can get upset really easy.
Okay. So to recap, for those of us, who have been following along, and we do appreciate your dedication as we go through this bracket. My final four are Dustin Johnson versus Victor Hovland. On the other side of the bracket, it's Louis Oosthuizen versus John Rahm. As we mentioned previously, I have Victor Hovland in the championship match. And for me, it's going to face John Rahm. John Rahm, Victor Hovland is my championship match at the WGC Dell Match Play with John Rahm, the guy who you have losing on Friday afternoon. To me, he is the champion of this event.
The beauty is we don't have to wait. The beauty is we don't have to wait very long to see how this ages. One of us is going to be sending a nasty text to the other one.
This could look very bad. Actually, just on Wednesday, because I mean, I know it's not the one and done, but if you lose on Wednesday, or if you lose a match at all, you significantly jeopardize your chances of advancing in the spot. I know it's not as clean cut as you're packing your bags on Wednesday, but your percentage chances go way, way down. So that's way my down. Final four. And John Rahm, to me, is the champion.
So I'm going to go the other way, even though that we've both been camping on Cam Smith for a long time. I think Patrick Reed beats him on that side of the bracket in the semifinals, and it ends up being P. Reed against Dustin Johnson. And it ends up being just a fantastic match. One by, wait for it, Dustin Johnson.
Well, the world number one. How long is that limb that you're going out on?
Not very long. However, you're already typing up the text you're going to send me on Friday afternoon. And when John Rahm advances, and I'm going to be like, all right, I'll eat that one.
Patrick Reed, Cam Smith, of course, would have that juicy subplot leading into the 2019 President's Cup. Of course, Cam Smith called out Patrick Reed for cheating. So even though I'm selfishly interested in John Rahm advancing all the way to championship and then winning, I would also sign up very much for a Patrick Reed, Cam Smith. There wouldn't be a whole lot of pleasantries exchanged on the first tee there. That was fun to do. I also look forward to looking back at just how wrong we were, because we have never yet, even though we cover this sport, we've covered this event, we're as into it as anyone, we have never, ever come close to a perfect bracket. I'm not even sure we've had 50% success rate try and do these brackets. This is what happens when you have 64 of the best players in the world, 18-hole match play. Literally anything can happen, and it often does. Rex, before we get out of here, I know we like to talk about barbecue. My weekend plans were scuttled because I had the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Shout out to all those who could make that possible. However, that really scuttled my barbecue plans, so I'm going to try and make up for it this week. Probably going to do some ribs for the round robin Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I've got some boneless, skinless chicken breasts that I'll be firing on the grill. Something called bok choy, my wife, but I'm not even really sure what that is. I believe it's some kind of lettuce. Yeah, I believe it's some kind of lettuce.
Awful.
I do have to watch my cholesterol. And then I bought something else, but I can't remember. But it should be a very active week on one of my five grills. You are in one of the premier barbecue locations in all of America. What are your plans barbecue-wise? And don't tell me you're going to go try and find some Italian cuisine.
No, as a matter of fact, as you're prattling on about what it is you're going to grill and some sort of nasty stuff that your wife is going to make you, I actually punched into my phone because I do have dinner plans tonight and probably every night this week at Franklin Barbecue, which is exactly 3 blocks from my hotel. So I'll send you a picture.
You need to get in line like 4 hours ago if you want to eat.
I know.
If you want to eat at Franklin.
No, I've done it before. It's not that like that every day, but yes, normal days you do have to show up. I think it just kind of depends on what's on the menu, because he changes the menu almost every day. You know, every day is kind of something different.
I'm not sure I could be any more jealous than if you go to Franklin Barbecue. I mean, he's a god. He's a god, yes, in the barbecue world.
I knew I was going to get that. I knew I was going to get the request for some of his rub. I knew I'm going to get the request for a hat. I'm just waiting for it to drop.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't have your wife's Venmo account. I'm sure we'll get to it eventually. I'm not even sure you're talking to her after the past month. Perfect. I'll just have to write you a check. I'll just have to write you a check then. That's fine.
How about you call her and then you can talk to her directly, because that leaves me the middleman out of it, which she wants.
Yeah, she still doesn't know who I am, despite me sending a Christmas card every single year.
Every single year.
All right. So thank you for listening to that extensively long podcast. We broke down the entire WGC Double Match Play Championship. Read all Rex's stuff, golfchannel.com. We will look back at exactly how we did 1 week from now. Enjoy the week, and we'll talk to you next time.
See you.